Hello, everybody, and welcome to Voxel Viewpoint. We have a very special episode for you today. The whole thing is dedicated to our discussion about Days Gone, the latest PlayStation exclusive by Sony Ben Studios. We get into it. It's me, Lee, and Derek talking about it. It's very long, almost 2 hours. We do get into some story details. We warn about later story details, but we kick it off right away with kind of an introduction to the story and I'd say the first few hours of the game. So if you're sensitive to that, you kind of want to go in fresh, maybe hold off on listening to this one until you've had some time to experience the beginning of the game for yourself. The last thing is, I apologize for some audio issues on my end. Hopefully you can work through it. I can guarantee that next time there won't be as many audio issues as we had with this particular podcast. But we wanted to put it out anyway, despite the issues, because we have some good discussion about Days Gone. So, without further ado, Days Gone. We'll just set up the story here. So you play as Deacon St. John, who is this biker in a previous life. He's part of a biker gang called the Mongrels. Him and his pal Boozer. Yes, the guy's name is Boozer. They survive a zombie outbreak. These zombies, they're not like the slow, shambling zombies like in The Walking Dead. They're more like 28 Days Later zombies, or we just talked about it last week, the World War Z zombies. They're faster, they can run and dodge your bullets, which is something I wasn't expecting, but they're capable of doing. Now I haven't gotten into like the lore of why the zombies are the way they are, how they came to be or anything like that. I don't know if the game gets into that, but it doesn't even really seem to be, at least with the core story, doesn't seem to be a big, it's not being set up as, hey, this is a story about us trying to explain the zombie outbreak. It's more about, St. John trying to, I guess he's trying to find his wife. He doesn't know if his wife survived the apocalypse, and he's with his pal Boozer, who at the beginning of the game gets hurt. So you spend a lot of the beginning of the game helping him, trying to get better, trying to get supplies to get out of the area that you're in, and that's kind of like where the beginning of the game starts out, and you help these communities out. There's like these little colonies that have formed, protected from the zombies, and you just kind of scavenge around and do odd jobs for people. Is there anything I'm missing from the setup?
No, that's pretty much covers it. It's really basic as far as story goes.
Yeah, I feel like I talked about it longer than the game sets up its actual story.
Yeah.
Very much so.
You know, I had no clue it was in Oregon either.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yep. It's in that, like, northern Midwest, northern West, like, Oregon, Washington. That's where Bend is, Bend, Oregon. So Sony Bend Studios, that's where they're located. So they kind of, you know, for them, it was kind of like a, you know, we wanted to make a game taking place in our own backyard kind of thing.
Right.
And, you know, I've never been there, but I do know that It's pretty famous for, you know, lots of forests, lots of trees, wildlife, and it does rain a lot, and they nailed that in this game.
Yeah, because that's why I was loosely thinking that it was in Washington, because I heard in Washington State it rains a lot.
Yeah, so it rains quite a lot in Oregon, too, at least this part of it. And, yeah, they nailed that because it pretty much rains all the time in this game. And when it doesn't rain, it's dark. So, I guess...
Metaphorically, right off, as well as weather-wise.
Yeah. It's dark. It's dark all around.
And it's like someone's raining on you. Like a miserable cloud over your head as you play it.
I guess let's get into... Let's get into St. John, the Deacon St. John, the main character. So the story, like I said, was literally set up with like a 3-minute cutscene where you and your wife and your pal Boozer, your wife and Boozer are injured. You get to this like evacuation helicopter, which is operated by this company called Neuro, which while they also create CD burning software, they also apparently are a pharmaceutical company or some sort of hazard, like a private FEMA, if you will, emergency management kind of deal. But they're a company. They're not like, I don't think they're government, are they? I guess I don't really know.
I'm not sure because I think it's like national emergency something something. So because it keeps getting referred to as the government when it pops up a little bit. So.
Oh, okay. So maybe it is the government. Okay. Ooh. It's not really made clear. At least from the beginning. Anyway, you just see this big Nero emblazoned on the side of this helicopter, and then once you get into the game, you're kind of going to these Nero. Relief campsites or research sites and investigating them and stuff like that. There's this helicopter and can only fit 2 people on this helicopter. Oh, geez, we got 3. What are we going to do? And through some weird, strange decision, Deacon decides to just leave his wife, not go with his wife, and stay with Boozer. Which, I don't know, I'm not married, but if I was, I kind of feel like I'd probably go with my wife that just got stabbed in the stomach, and,
especially
you know,
seeing, like, Booze is such a prick.
Well, yeah, and he's...
Booze is an awful character. I'd say, see you later, Boozer.
Well, I mean...
I think part of
so
it
So is Deacon.
That's... Boozer is his wife's brother, I think.
Is maybe. That what's going on?
Yeah.
Okay. Still.
Yeah. Like, anyway.
I guess the only way that it would work, that it would be like, okay, maybe I'd see it as if Boozer was my brother. You know,
right.
Deacon's brother. Like if this was like brother versus wife kind of thing. But wife versus some dude basically was a little like, it's a little strange. Whatever, you know. I don't know their relationship. Yeah. We're not gonna pass any judgments there. Anyway, flash forward like 700 days or something like that, or 700. You can probably find out exactly. It's like 739 days or something. Like that's when it starts.
Yeah. I know. Like the little screen said, didn't it say like 5 years later though?
Did it say 5? Okay. Well, I know when you press pause on the game, it literally tells you how many days...
Yeah, I know. It tells you the day amount.
Yeah, it tells you how many days gone it is, which 5 years wouldn't be 700.
That's about a year and a quarter.
5 years would be way more than that. That would be like 1600 or 1700. I don't know. Anyway, it says right on the pause menu, and it's like... I know right now for me it's like it's hovering around 750, 740, something like that.
Yeah. I feel like we're thinking about this more than Ben did.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. like I said, we've been talking about this way longer than they do setting up the story in the game.
Yeah.
And like there's like so many problems with the tone that they put on some of the stuff, like Deacon trying to paint him as some sort of like conflicted, sympathetic character, but at the same time just really doing all this horrible stuff for kind of shitty reasons. Like, not shitty as in like morally shitty, but shitty as in like you don't really have to do that. Like, there's probably another way you can go about doing that. And just as like a like an example, there's this weird scene near the beginning where this woman comes up to him with a gun, and he's like, if I thought you were going to shoot me, if you had any ammo in that gun, I'd be dead already. And then she drops the gun, and she's like, are you going to kill me? And he's like, I have a rule. I don't kill women if I don't have to. And like, in 2 minutes late before that, I was like slitting women's throats, trying to infiltrate this radio tower to turn it on. Yep. So this weird truther radio host, Alex Jones character, can get his radio show back on the air. Full of conspiracy theories and shit. Like, and it's the only station in the area, so it's not even competing with anything. It's just weird. Like, you know, we talk about, there's been discussion about like ludonarrative dissonance in games. Like, the character that you see in the cutscenes isn't the character that you see when you're, you know, actually have control of them. And it's like extreme in this case, in my opinion. The actions you're doing in game don't really equal the character that they're trying to portray in the cutscenes.
But then he's not really much of a character, though, is he? I don't find. I think he's just he's the most archetype. He's like Uber. There's nothing really so kind of. I didn't really question that sort of thing, which I guess you, now I think about it, yeah, it's pretty bad, but you don't.
Well, sorry. Yeah, I mean, sure. Okay, you can paint him as a, like an empty shell to allow the character to, or allow the player to turn them into whatever they want, but for one, the game doesn't give you those kinds of options.
No.
You don't have a choice whether or not you go up and you murder these people. You have to do that.
Yeah.
And they also stick in those these moments where he's like says he has these morals. So that's putting, you know, character into the person. That's putting character into the character that the player isn't. So I just don't see what they were going, like where they were going with that kind of stuff. It just doesn't make sense. Like Lee, like you said, it's like it would be okay if they left it an open slate and you could kind of create the character you wanted to, but they don't even really give you the ability to do that.
I mean, within the first 10 minutes, didn't give you an in to how you're, because obviously we had this discussion with. You know, I find as a character he's far too brutal. He's vicious and brutal. And your thing was he's a biker. He looks after his own, and that's it. And anything else, you know, is the biker archetype of a bad biker. I'm sure there's good bikers, but these are, you know, the ultimate bad biker. But
that
suggests he looks after his own. But he does, you know, there's a bit at the beginning where he comes across somebody that's been viciously beaten. It's obviously an ally. And he sees her there, and she's literally dying in front of him. And he doesn't seem to really care much along the lines of, where did the guy go that did this to you? Not because he wants to
Are you talking about the woman at the statue at the very beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of almost dismisses her, although she's clearly he's supposed to be his friend and his ally.
Right, and it, as far as I can tell, it was like the three of them, like it was him, Boozer, and her were in their gang or whatever, because there's no one else.
And he doesn't seem to necessarily care at all, really. He just wants the information about how to take him out because he's messed with the core group. And it's like, I find this guy really hard to vibe with. It's kind of, he strikes me as a character from kind of the mid-2000s type character that you would get in video games, like from your Manhunts, that it's called the brutal kind of guy. Or, what's the other game? The Suffering.
Yeah,
it's cool that he's a brutal bag, you know, he's an anti-hero. Well, not really, he's a psychopath, and he's a prisoner, and he's a murderer. That's fine, okay.
Which is kind of weird, too, because have you made it to the flashback sequence?
I've done a few of them.
Yeah.
The one where you first meet, like, find out how he met his wife? She's, like, stranded on the side of the road?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Okay, because that paints him in a completely different picture.
Oh, really?
Than the person that we are currently playing as, or have seen up to that point.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I'll just put a spoiler here, fast forward a few minutes if you don't want to. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, if you just don't like, because like I said, you just haven't seen it, so just like...
I don't care. Like, I don't know if Lee cares.
Yeah, no, not particularly, no.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, I think it was part of like a side story I was working on.
I think you unlock these memories when you do those Nero things, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess they show up as, like, purple quests, and I was trying to do it because what you gained was, like, 12% more inventory for your crossbow or whatever. So I was like, okay, cool, I want to do this. But, it was...
There's the reason, there's the motivation. Yeah. It's not I care about what I'm going to find out, I get 12% more crossbow.
Like I had mentioned... Like I had mentioned, too, though, is it made me care more about her than who I'm actually playing about. Because, you know...
So what happened? How does this paint him differently?
So he's just, like, he's going down the road on his motorcycle. And then he passes, like, by her. And then he, like, stops and backs up and then asks if she needs help or anything. And he's kind of more of, like, free-spirited, kind of, like, joking around type deal. And eventually he helps her out. She gets on to go take a drive with him because her car is obviously busted and they're trying to get up to, like, the next town.
Yeah.
And once they come back to the car, because she finally gets, like, a cell phone reception because there was none out there and she was trying to get a hold of a truck for it, they end up deciding to come back to the car. They don't go up to town and her car is getting, like, broken into by some guys. And he actually gets out and goes, confronts them, gets his ass beat, trying to, like, keep them from stealing her stuff. And then she, like, finds, like, a gun in his little satchel and fires it off, and that's, like, kind of the end of the scene. But he's kind of more of, like, he's not, like, this, you know, like Leo's saying, like, kind of, like, psycho mentality guy that's not taking shit from anybody. He was just kind of, like, this more free-spirited person.
Okay. Yeah, I had a scene that I got that was like a flashback scene, and it was revealing when Sarah, the wife, gets stabbed.
Yeah, I'd seen that one after, like, that one popped up for me after, so I guess it kind of depends, like, what you're doing, what scenes you're getting.
Yeah, I guess they unlock with specific locations, not in a set order. So I got that. And what I gleaned from that was, you know, like you said with Deacon, like, he wasn't, like, something happens in that scene and he has to kill somebody. And his reaction to that was, like, this is the first time I've ever done anything like this.
Right.
So, you know... they're obviously trying to paint him as, like, a before the events, you know, he was this, you know, wannabe biker gangster guy that had a chip on his shoulder but didn't really have the chops to pull it off or anything like that. And now he's a psychopath. Because he is. It's not like this isn't like he's being forced into this kind of stuff. Like, at least it's not shown that. Like, maybe something like really crazy happened that made him break, so to speak. But it doesn't happen within the context of the game, so the outbursts don't make sense. Like when he goes into his like furies or whatever, and he's just like beating the shit out of somebody or something.
When you get that little prompt, and he's just all out.
Yeah, and he's telling what he's doing again and stuff.
Right. Yeah. That's
uncomfortable.
So there's just isn't. And of course, that goes back to what we were saying before about how there really isn't any control over who this character is, because these things just happen. They don't really have control over them. And from what I've seen, from other people, there isn't like a really good explanation. There isn't like some sort of like, oh my god, this is what happened. This is why he's like he is. And even if there was, I don't think it would justify the stark contrast that we're seeing anyway. Yeah. Like I don't feel good playing as this character because he's either making like really bad decisions for seemingly all the wrong reasons, or he's a nothing. Like he's just an empty slate, an empty shell. That's just wandering around, ripping down tree saplings and picking up rags.
I think it's just down to deafness of writing. If you want to kind of... probably going to be quite a few comparisons maybe to The Last of Us. There's similar sort of games with similar kind of this happened and much later... It's all about the deftness of writing. When you look at the way... I'm not a fan of The Last of Us, but I like the writing in it. Mm-hmm. And it's quite strong writing.
That's about the only thing that I can get on board with The Last of Us. I don't like how it plays or anything like that, but the writing and the story is there in the characters.
Now, obviously you're there and you're with your daughter, and you know your daughter for a little bit longer than you know. Sarah was her name? That's her name, isn't it? Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
But you feel you know her, and when she goes from the story, disappears from the story, for whatever reason, her presence hangs over the game, and you understand kind of his feeling about it after the fact, whereas Sarah seems like a MacGuffin that you're going to meet. It feels like it's a stock character. It's like, that's what we do with these sort of games. We need this character to kind of propel you and give you the reason. And the other thing is kind of, you know, Joel lost his drive, and he's doing the same sort of thing. He's still murdering people. He's still taking people out. There's a sense that he's brutal with it because he has to be brutal, but there's a kind of still a humanity to what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I can understand him taking out Freakers and whatever the baby ones are called, which is another... moral thing we'll probably get into. Yeah, we'll get into that later. I can understand him being like that, but when he's like that with humans, it gets a little bit more twisted. And I don't find it quite so easy. But there's a sense that kind of there's kind of a... I don't want to have to do this. It attaches you to Joel when he's killing people quite brutally. But it's that dissonance, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah.
There's not that deftness of writing that makes you feel like, I understand why he's doing this. You're like, Jesus, why are you stabbing this guy so fucking viciously?
Yeah, that was one of the big turnoffs for me for The Last of Us, too, was you're trying to sympathize with this guy, and he's just doing these brutal murders and stuff like that. Like I get it, right? It's shitty, right? It's a shitty time to be alive. You do what you have to do, but still, it's shitty.
But there's an essence that it still weighs on him when he does these things.
Right. He has the moment where he's like, I feel like I shouldn't be doing this, but I have to. Whereas with Deacon, it's just you'll clear out a camp and, you know, you'll kill like 12 people in all sorts of different ways. And then the first thing out of his mouth is, where's your bunker? Where's the bunker?
Yeah.
So what I was going to bring up with Sarah, like you said, like being a big motivation for Deacon and kind of being there but not being there, that's a lot like Atreus' mother in God of War, the new God of War, where like she's like the motivation for them to be going to the giant realm. I forget what they call it. Like she's the motivation for them to get to the top of the mountain, but she's not there. Like you never even see. You don't even know what she looks like. You never see her. It's very similar to that. In this, which, I guess another spoiler alert. I'm pretty sure you do find her.
Yeah, is this spoiler section? Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I just said spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's with her. That was with her.
What's that?
Yeah, O'Brien. You start hearing about him, and then it just drives you completely nuts. Because the other thing is, just to mention about Deacon too, is he's very easily influenced. Like the first time somebody's like, "Hey, we need you to do this," he's like, "Nah," but then they're like, "No, you need to do it." And he's like, "Okay, cool, whatever, I'm doing it."
And I guess one more thing before we move off of the story and the character and stuff. Like right at the first thing you do is, well, Lily, you had mentioned it, that you have the guy that you're chasing that has the drugs, right? And you put him out of his misery. Like you shoot him so the freakers can't kill him. Because it's better to be shot in the head than it is to be eaten alive by freakers.
Yeah.
But then later on you'll be like hunting down these bounties for people and you'll just leave them tied up in the middle of the woods. And it's just like apparently there's some really great cell reception or something going on in Oregon because there's communication going on constantly between people, like radio communication, and you'll just message the guy. You'll just be like, "All right, I tied him up. You can come pick him up whenever you want." As if like a big roaming band of freakers isn't just going to come by and eat him up. But then also, like, you have this drug situation, which I don't know if they ever explained what kind of drugs are in this little cooler that you find. But, you know, Leon, the guy that you're chasing at the beginning that's supposed to be this drug carrier, this drug dealer or something, isn't really painted in a very positive light and, you know, oh, drugs are bad kind of situation. And then, like, a half an hour later, Deacon finds this experimental shot in this neuro base camp area, and he just immediately injects it into his arm. Like, he's just like, "Oh, wonder what this is. I've never seen one of these before." Oh, all right.
Yeah, because doesn't he say too? Their suits help them, so this might help me. And then it's just like, boop.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, it was really like that whole first sequence of shooting the first one up. I was like, okay.
I was like, I couldn't believe it. He was just like, I mean, it would have been one thing for them to just be like, okay, this is something that he knows and he's comfortable doing, but his obliviousness to it, like, this is the first time I've ever seen one of these. I guess I'll just immediately inject it into my arm.
Right, what? And now for player purpose, you either get health, stamina, or focus, I think it is.
Right, right, yeah, it's...
Yeah.
It's an attribution bonus.
To be honest with you. Intelligence boost, to be honest with you.
Yeah, where's the one that injects better writing into the game?
Yeah, can I have an IQ boost, please?
Yeah. Man.
What does everybody think about the other characters you meet that are on your side, to some extent? Do you find any of them likable? Any of them?
Well, Boozer, no. Copeland,
no, he's awful.
Hell no. I don't know. How many other... The old lady, Tucker?
Yeah, she's really weird.
I was like, oh man, this she seems like a cool old lady. And then it turns out that she's basically just running a slave camp.
Yeah, and like... Where... harasses people too. Like,
yeah.
It's really weird. So I think so far the only person is there's this little girl that you end up helping on a side mission.
Yeah.
And so far that's been the only person that, outside of like wanting to learn more about what happened to Sarah, are the only people that I've like cared about so far.
Yeah.
There's a relatively kind of inoffensive, kind of slightly bumbling mechanic in there. But it's the only person I've found so far that's even generally kind of likable. You're so awful to him.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter anyway.
Fuck, what's his name?
I'm not sure, but he gets the scrap of the bike that you have go at him for kind of stripping, despite the fact he left it hiding under about 3 branches in the middle of the road. And suddenly it's that poor guy's fault.
The mechanic.
So, well, don't leave it under 3 branches.
Copland's area. Oh. Or Copland's area, whatever his name is.
I feel like he's a fairly sympathetic character, but you're so awful to me, it doesn't matter.
Right, you're awful to everybody. Like, when you first go into that camp, the Wellsprings or whatever the place for that old lady is, the way you treat that guard is just... even he's just like, Jesus, what the fuck? I'm just here standing guard. Why are you being such an asshole to me?
Like, the part of it, too, is, like I mentioned, like, when we were kind of just, like, talking about it in chat, is... Like, they set it up so bad, you're not sure how you're supposed to feel. Because, like, with the mechanic, like, the way you talk to him, he knows that was your bike and did this, but at the same time, you're not really sure if
right,
he really
because,
did.
Because when you first start this game out, you don't understand that you actually have relationships with all of these places.
Yep.
Even though... You don't, because you're starting trust level 0 with all of them. Like you're helping these random people on the street, and you're like, go to this place, location, they know me there. And it's like, no, really they don't, because you're only trust level 1, and you can't even buy any of the cool guns that they offer, or any of the higher level upgrades, so they don't really... know you, and you don't really know them.
You know, like, the leader of the camp, and that's about it.
Yeah, but even that, even if you did know, if you were, like, good old buddies with Copland or Tucker, like, it seems like you are, why are you starting these at trust level 0? Like, she's already like, oh, I know you can get things done, but she's not letting you purchase the better equipment. Why?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there is a huge disconnect with this game in terms of progression in the world and the gameplay versus what they ended up putting in as the story. And I don't know, like, where along the way that that fell apart. Like, if, like, the story didn't happen until the very last minute, and they had this whole game, which wouldn't surprise me, because they really, leaning up to the release of this game, they didn't really talk too much about the story. It was all about, like, the Horde technology and, you know, game placing, which is driving your bike around and stuff.
Actually, no. A couple of months ago, this will probably sum everything up. they did this kind of campaign where it was about his marriage to her and him getting married to her at the altar, and they put these cinematics out that probably should have been in the game to help you kind of, but no, they was in kind of promotional material about 3 months ago.
There is a wedding scene
these
in the game.
Lavish, yeah, but maybe
I haven't seen it. I've just heard about it, so I don't know if that's what you're talking about or not.
Yeah, but they kind of put that in a promotional thing, but you don't get that. So yeah, it's kind of the most story I've seen about the, you know, contextual stuff is kind of they have done some bits, but. Well.
And the fact that, like, you can unlock all these story bits randomly in no set order.
Yeah.
Like, that's just going to be extremely confusing to anybody.
Yeah.
No matter if you unlock them in the right order, because for one, you're probably not even sure if you're unlocking them in the right order. But it's just not a very good way to tell a story.
Focus us on being a bit grim and a lot more on just refining everybody and everything. But what do you expect from a game where goodwill currency is zombie years?
Yeah, that doesn't...
You know, that probably sums the game up, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess. It's instead of bottle caps, it's zombie years.
Yeah.
Zombie years and plants.
Well, thank you for these. So, cheers.
Oh, thanks. I'll put these on my wall.
Yeah, well, frame
there's
these.
There's got to be a box somewhere, right? A big hole with a bunch of zombie ears in it, because you're giving them like hundreds at a time. Like, where are they putting them? What are they doing with them? What are these ears?
Oh, this is a child zombie ear. Thanks. I didn't know you cared.
Oh yeah. Oh, well, thanks for the. It's a little small, but oh, this must have came from a kid.
Jesus Christ. Oh.
Oh man. Yeah. anyway, gameplay, that's in the game. For the most part, I actually think the gameplay is okay. Like, the character feels okay to control, and the aiming and shooting and stuff is okay. The AI is kind of dumb. Not the zombie, but like the actual people AI. They literally do the same thing. They just hide behind cover. They pop out, they pop their head out, they're like, they check first, right? They check to see, and then they pop back down, and then they pop out and shoot. It's literally, that's what they do over and over again. I've had a pretty easy time taking advantage of the stealth, which is, there's way more stealth in this game than I thought there would be. Because I don't think they showed any of that in the lead up. Like, it was all about, like, oh no, shit's gone bad. Now you gotta randomly shoot into this horde of zombies that's following you and know exactly where all of these special traps are to trigger and stuff like that. Which doesn't actually happen. Because there's nothing pointing them out. What do you guys think of the overall feel of the game and everything? Is it enjoyable, or is it not clicking with you?
I had to turn down the sensitivity a little bit, because I kind of got, like, as far as, like, how your character moves, it felt like Assassin's Creed, like, really quick, sharp movements that you could do. It just kind of felt a little out of place for the game. So what I did was, like, I bumped down that sensitivity a little bit, and it seemed to be a lot better now.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Yeah, maybe that's why I'm enjoying it, because it feels like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, like, I like Assassin's Creed game. It's just for this, I didn't want that, like, real, like, quick turning how it was.
Yeah.
Because it just felt like really kind of like loose, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I get it. I was actually thinking of turning the sensitivity up.
So then I was like,
this is a little slow, because I'm playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey at the same time, so...
So it fits right in, and you won't even tell.
Like... And with the stealth, I want that speed. Like, I want to just very quickly turn so I can see where the bad guy is, so I know if he's moving or not, and if I can take advantage of, like, hopping between cover at that exact moment. So for me, the stealth felt a lot like Metal Gear Solid 5, Phantom Pain. I just like the whole setup, like you can kind of go into stealth whenever you want.
Yeah.
There isn't like set zones where, well, stealth is only in this area, and then outside of it, it's a different kind of gameplay feel or something like that. And just like the sneaking around and the context-sensitive cover where you don't actually have to press a button, he just automatically takes cover when he's leaning up against the wall or something like that.
Yeah.
Felt a lot like Metal Gear. Another game that came out in 2015. I guess we could talk about Mad Max as well. Because like in terms of like the open world, I feel like if you've played that 2015 Avalanche Mad Max game, you've got a pretty good idea of what you're going to be doing in this game, which is going around constantly collecting scrap, even call it scrap in Mad Max, finding fuel for your bike. The setup at the beginning is even the same, where your beloved bike, in this case in Mad Max it was your car, gets destroyed or stolen in Mad Max. I forget which one it was. And a lot of, well, in Mad Max, it was a very key moving force of the story was you're trying to rebuild your car. In Days Gone, it's just kind of like a side thing. You can spend money on it if you want, and you should, because the base bike is really slow, and there's a lot of upgrades for it that make the driving around a lot better.
Yeah.
But, like, the constant search for fuel and scrap to repair it, and just stopping at all of these little side things off the side of the street, like here's this house I can go in, sneak around, and get some stuff, is just like Mad Max. You're even gaining trust in different sections of the map in Mad Max by doing missions for the leaders of those areas, and that unlocks access to more upgrades and weapons and stuff and stuff like that in those areas. It's really like they played a lot of Mad Max and decided to make their own game out of it. But even in 2015, that Mad Max game felt like the culmination of AAA open worlds at that point. Like, that came out, and, well, actually, that came out 6 months before The Witcher 3 came out, which was, like, total opposite of that. Rewriting the way that we look at open worlds and storylines converging with, like the moment-to-moment gameplay and stuff like that. So like, for this to feel so much like Mad Max and, like, just going down the checklist of, like, okay, we got these neuro checkpoints, those are, like, the scavenger sites, we've got this system where we're gaining trust within camps and stuff like that, that gives you more access to better stuff. It just feels very, very dated, very old.
How do you feel about when you're traveling, this need for them to keep knocking up your bike every person? With the tripwires or the sniper rifles? Have you gotten to the section where you keep getting... I feel like the things they had where you are traveling to and forth, and you have not seemingly random. You get the snipers or the tripwire people. Do you think that's a detriment to the game?
I don't know what that is.
He's just trying to pad. You haven't hit those yet. You're probably lucky.
I haven't ran into anybody with their tripwire, but I've gotten hit by a sniper a couple times, and that's just annoying as hell. And especially because, like, once you reload and come back through there, they're not even there.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of false kind of padding to stop. I think without a lot of these things, it kind of it's like gives you 10 minutes to go and hunt, because they're quite a way away, aren't they? Snipers.
Yeah.
Quite a fair way. You know, you're going to get them, and that's an extra 10 minutes. I feel like without those, you'd probably be nipping around this game pretty quickly. I'm not quite sure I like that element, that they're that frequent, at least. I don't like that they're as frequent as they can be. But, yeah, they have the kind of the wire across the road that knock you off of the bike. You haven't had any of those yet?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. I'm not fond. I'm
probably like four hours in, I'd say. I'm really not that far.
Yeah, not good. It encourages you more to.
Yeah, it sounds like it really gets a lot better. Maybe I should keep playing and get to the tripwire. Sounds like a ball.
Absolutely. And then you knock off a bike every 7 minutes.
Yeah.
That'd be good. You'll love that. You'll really enjoy that. Maybe
I'm good.
Too much fuel.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I love it when you have to pay for fast travel. I just love it so much. If waiting for the loading wasn't enough...
Yeah.
To have to actually pay in-game resources is just mwah, like exactly how I want to experience my open worlds.
So
which is weird too, because then during your story missions, you have unlimited fuel.
Kind of.
If you haven't noticed that at all.
Kind of. You don't really have unlimited fuel because you have to get off your bike and you have to put the fuel tank. You have to put the fuel in the tank.
But not during story missions. But like if you're on your bike during your story missions, that gauge, your gas gauge that usually shows up, goes completely away.
Oh, really? I didn't notice that.
Yeah. I noticed it last night when I signed. I was like, oh, you know, my bike's low on gas. Oh, story mission, okay.
I guess you don't have to worry.
Yeah, like, they want you to go through your story mission, go do this, but then when you're done, remember, you're not going to have any gas.
Yeah. So you have to get off your bike and find gas if you're running out, but the gas tanks are unlimited.
Yep.
The gas tanks you find out in the world, you can be at zero in your gas in your bike tank, fill it up 100%. There's no, like... indication of how much gas is in that fuel can, but it's unlimited. Well, that's why there's no indication. There is literally an instant supply, unlimited supply of gas, which also goes against what the woman said in the golf cart that was like, we can't keep burning all these things. We're going to run out of gas. And it's like, lady... there's a house out front that's got an unlimited amount of gas in it. All you got to do is go out there and pick it up. You have all the fuel you ever need.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Can burn all the features you want.
There's just no advantage to doing for those things. You fast travel, and then you spend all your fuel, which then you're going to have to search for, which is a pain in the ass to get it back into. You'll find it, and it'll be unlimited, but you still got to find it. Or you won't do it, and you'll get hit by... between a mission, you'll get hit by a sniper or something's going to knock your bike, who's going to damage your bike. So you've got to go and look for parts to then fix your bike. So you don't gain anything for anything. It doesn't. It's just not a fun mechanic.
It's like they had the fuel thing, right? But they took out like what would be fun about that fuel thing, where it's like you have to actually manage it. What they did was they made it the annoying thing where you just have to get off your bike and find it. But not like I have to strategically use this fuel because there's a finite supply of it. So I can't go on that really long trip out into that area yet until I find a better source of fuel. And then on top of that, they take it away apparently and then the fuel tanks aren't even in like logical locations. Like, I found a fuel can in the middle of this kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, man, I need some fuel. I'm running out of fuel. And there was, like, a bunch of houses, and I was searching through them. Everybody's got tons of rags. Don't worry if you need rags. This post-apocalypse, there's plenty of rags and empty beer bottles. And then I just found this fuel can in the middle of this person's kitchen.
Mm.
I was like, okay. Grab it, fill up my bike, just throw it on the ground because I don't need it anymore. You can't strap it to your bike or take an extra fuel thing with you. Like even that would be like a better thing to do, would be like deciding whether or not you can take, you know, an extra this or that in place of a fuel tank or something, a fuel can or something like that.
Mm.
I don't know. There's just having so many frustrating kind of, things.
When you have a bike with saddles on each side, why you don't pack that fuel can to the side of your bike, I don't know. You could easily do that. It's just artificial kind of lengthening of everything.
I drove around for like 2 hours with this cooler of drugs on the back of my bike, but I can't strap a fuel tank to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
there's beer bottles everywhere. I'm sure somebody's got one of those stupid dual hard hats with the beer cans on the sides, right? So just fill them up with gas and put it right into the tank, and then I get two right on my head.
Mm-hmm.
Feeding directly into my fuel tank.
There you go.
It's a modern quote unquote open world game, so there's crafting. Which you can only make very limited amounts, which I'm sure you get. You can do more. You probably unlock the ability to carry more stuff. Like I know, Derek, you said. Huh?
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, Derek, you said you were able to carry more arrows, right?
Yeah, I guess like part of the thing said you were supposed to carry more. I didn't even get to see yet if it actually gave me it, or if I have to wait for this to then pop up again or something. Because the whole like story mission system and that kind of thing is pretty terrible.
Okay, well, I guess they there's at least some indication that you'll be able to carry more stuff.
Yeah.
Because, like, right now I can only carry, like, 10 normal arrows for my crossbow, because it's got to have a crossbow when it's a zombie apocalypse game, after all. Bikes, which are really loud and attract zombies, because that's something that always happens in zombie movies, but we got to ride around on really loud fucking motorcycles. And crossbows, because Daryl in Walking Dead has a crossbow. And, like, you can only carry very small amount of shotgun ammo, I know. Like, 9 shotgun shells. I don't know.
I haven't got a shotgun yet. I have the crossbow. I just got a sniper rifle, because I guess you unlock a heavy weapon as well further down the line.
Yeah, I found a sniper rifle. I killed a sniper and I took it.
Ooh.
Nice.
I don't know.
Every time you mention something new, I could just feel myself going, because you've said crafting now, and I'm just thinking about the terrible crafting wheel.
Oh yeah, the crafting wheel? Oh my god. Yeah.
I hate it so much. I think that was the first thing I said about the game was like, hate the crafting wheel.
I hate weapon wheels in games in general. I think it's like the worst way to have you choose your weapons and stuff like that, because it's never responsive. It never does exactly what you want it to do. But the way that this weapon wheel works is it's like 2-tiered. So like you go into your pistol, and then if you hold the analog stick in the direction of the pistol, then you get access to apply a silencer on it if you want to. But you got to hit R1 in order to do that. And then like in the medical supplies, you hit that. And then you have like 5 things. There's a stamina thing, there's a health elixir, there's a bandage, there's a med kit, there's probably another stamina friggin' thing, and you have to go through each one of these things in order to find what you actually want, and then hit the button to craft it if you have the materials for it, then hit the button to use it if you want to use it.
In a skirmish, it's useless.
That's why you have the quick access to like your healing thing on the D-pad, which means you either take your left hand off of the analog stick, or you reach over with your right hand to hit the button, which is great.
Also, the fact that if you are kind of skirmishing and you're on the run and they're chasing you and stuff, and you pull up this wheel, it will slow down, yes. but it's just a white, sort of very faint wheel with no, like, backing or highlighting on it. So you can't see what you're actually doing half of the time anyway. Mine's backed with black. Mine's not backed with black. Is it?
Yeah.
Mine's not.
It's a black wheel. Like the background is black and it has the white text on the front of it.
No, mine's faint. Mine, you can see through it. There's not even opaque. It's just the lines.
It may be a little bit transparent, but it's very dark. I mean, I can see it okay, but there's still so many tiny little icons in there that it's like, what am I even choosing?
Yeah, and it's very like jumpy when you try to like go up a tier. Like the initial circle's all right, but then once you go up into the specific thing you want, especially if there's like more than one option,
you have to go back into the center, the core wheel, in order to, like, if you accidentally go into medical supplies instead of, you know, your distraction objects or something like that. But you accidentally go into the crafting section of it, you have to go back into the middle wheel, then go down to your distraction objects. You can't just go from the crafting wheel. It's very hard to explain. It's also very hard to use. So it all just kind of, it's kind of a two-front thing. If you're watching on YouTube, there'll definitely be video of going in there, because you have to go in there quite frequently.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, like, with the inventory is, like, you can go in and look at your inventory, and it shows you what you can craft in an actual menu. Like, I was like, wow, I want that in the game. But you can go in, you can see what you can craft, but you can't craft it from there. You actually have to use solely that wheel.
Yep.
And it sucks, because, like, on the crossbow, for example for this, is I have another bolt that I learned how to make. And...
yeah.
It's really hard to, like, go down and then, like, switch to it, especially, like, when you're trying to, like, craft on the run, because you can only hold these limited amounts, and then you have limited amounts of supplies with you, so if you're trying to use them sparsely, and then you need to make a couple more, it's really hard when you're in that moment trying to, like, micromanage all these things.
Yeah, no, it's almost like there's a cooldown, like... So sometimes, like Derek was just saying with the crossbow, you have normal darts, and then I've got these darts that if I hit something, it turns a zombie against other zombies. And when you go into the crafting wheel and you choose the psycho darts or whatever, but you meant to choose the other darts, if you accidentally choose those, you can't just immediately go into the crafting wheel again and choose the other darts. There's like some sort of invisible cooldown or some sort of lack of responsiveness because he won't change the darts. Like you'll go in and you'll be like, oh shit, I didn't mean to do those darts. You go back in and you choose the other ones and you'll have to do it again because it won't register that you went in there and you switched to the normal things. And that happens with the healing supplies and everything. It's like when you press too many keys on a keyboard and your computer dings at you because it's like, I can only register 4 keys at a time. It's like that, but on a game pad. And it happens frequently throughout in other areas too. Like you'll want to be hitting something, you want to be hitting an enemy, and then you'll want to perform some other action, and it just won't register that you're doing it. Or, like, there's a big lack of feedback in terms of... Alright, so, when I'm getting my ass kicked by a bunch of zombies, I don't want to have to hold left on the D-pad to use a healing item, right? I just want to hit it.
Yep.
I just want to tap it.
Yeah.
And I want it to happen immediately. I don't want there to be any delay, anything happening in my mind that makes me think that did it actually work? Did I hold it for long enough? Because like I said, you have to take your either your thumb off of the left analog stick, which is what you're using to run around with, or reach over with your right hand to hit the button on the D-pad. And it's just like, why is it on the D-pad? Why isn't it somewhere else? Why is this... And I don't know, maybe you can remap stuff. I don't know. I haven't gone in and looked. But then, who knows what else I would have to remap.
Yeah. It's just a little bit for the side, but it was just talking about icons and the things you can see and things you can't see and things you can make out. Have you got into the options to see that you have a little XP thing that you can put on your serious, gritty game?
Yeah,
Every time you kill someone, you ping up 20 XP. So when you kind of murder...
Like Borderlands style?
A recently turned baby. You'll get a little nice treat of, this is 50 XP, well done.
Oh, nice.
Right, that's how I found out that I killed an innocent, because it popped up 0 XP, and I was like, but it was just in the middle of, like, a bunch of zombies, like...
Yeah.
You have to shoot into this house, because that's what it had you doing, and somewhere in the mix of that, there's just one innocent person.
Yeah. It's that dissonance again, though, isn't it, of trying to be this very serious, gritty game, but then an arcade element thrown into the middle of it. It's a very arcadey concept, having an XP counter pop up every time you kill somebody.
That's buried in the options. That's not like a... If it was on by default, I could see that.
Well, I've actually read up a little bit. They was told to take it out. They was told to take it out by people overseeing the game.
Oh, wow.
And they kind of stuck it back on as an option. They was asked to remove it, and it was always there. It was their intention to have it on there as a standard thing.
Oh, huh.
Yeah.
At least they made that one right choice and took it out, because that would have been goofy just having that on from, like, the very beginning.
Yeah. But it's just these things, though, isn't it? It's kind of just concepts that don't quite fit.
It's like, I've seen people comparing it to a little bit to State of Decay as well, and I can see that.
I can see that.
Again, with the going out and collecting stuff and crafting and stuff like that, although State of Decay is more of like trying to simulate like a colony kind of thing, like you're actually building up the colony.
Actually surviving.
And it's more like about random generation than specific characters and stuff like that, but I can see this as like a State of Decay like with a more linear story. If you don't want to, like, if you don't like, I played State of Decay 2 for a while, but eventually I got to a point where the formula just wore out on me, and it just wasn't fun anymore to just keep going back into this world. Like, if there had been a narrative that had pulled me along a little bit more, of a clear narrative, like scripted and stuff like that, I would have stuck with it, because it would have given me something else to do other than go out and try to find supplies. And I was hoping that this is kind of what this was going to be, except they just blew the story so hard that all I can think about is how bad it is. Like, all I can think, whenever I'm doing a story mission, the voice act. Now, I will say, the voice acting is very good in this game. Most of the characters, some of the secondary characters are not very good, but the main characters are delivering their lines very well. They're not very good lines, but they are nailing them. But I just don't care. Like, I don't care about any of it, because, like we had said before, none of the characters are sympathetic. Like, I don't care if any of these characters live or die. This isn't like... There isn't a Rick Grimes, you know, where you feel for him. Like, you're like, you want him to pull through, or any of the characters from the... at least at the beginning of The Walking Dead, I kind of fell off of that show too. But like they don't do any of that work that you need to in order to like get those moments where when you know like if Boozer got eaten by a zombie, I'd just be like, fucking finally I don't have to listen to this guy on the radio.
Yeah, that's kind of what bugging I've been waiting
like I'm walking through this camp and I'm trying to stealth kill these guys and he's like, hey,
what are you doing? Let me come help you. No. And then you're constantly lying about what you're doing, too.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's like, I saw a bear. I think I'm going to go kill it. No, Boozer, don't go kill the bear. All right.
Yeah, it's... it's weird.
One time I took a bandage back and he tried to kill me. I'm like, I wish I hadn't bothered now.
Yeah, I know. It's like, man, I wish I had just gotten on that chopper with my wife.
Yeah.
Right?
And just, like, had a different game, had a different life.
And then you might be Boozer. That would be awful.
Yeah, I guess, probably. Ooh. Yeah, that would be really bad. All right. I was hoping that this wasn't just going to be an hour-long rant. But that's exactly what it ended up being.
Yeah,
no, it's going to be a two-hour-long rant.
Right, yeah, now... any redeeming qualities, anything that you like about the game? Like I said, I like the voice acting, and I think the gameplay is fine.
Yeah, it's that it actually performs really well.
It does,
like,
yeah.
When you're actually not really caring about what you're doing and just going around doing stuff, everything plays well. The shooting's great. Moving around is all good. The stealth is all right. It's just shortcome by not caring about characters or exactly why you're doing the stuff you're doing.
Yeah.
Mm. I'd say it was a fine game. You know, it's fine. It's not stunning. I wouldn't call it a bad game. There's enough things that it does fairly satisfyingly enough to make you say it's not bad.
Yeah, that's what when people ask me about it, I'm like, it's not a great game, but it's not a bad game. It's an okay game. Yeah. If you're going to like it for what it is.
Yeah, I would...
No.
I guess when you take everything... altogether, yeah, the sum ends up being above average. But I don't know, there's just when it misses so hard.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like it's not even like, oh, I just barely missed the, I don't know, whatever, the deer I was shooting. It's like you shot clear past the deer, you ricocheted off a tree, and it hit some kid running in the woods.
Mm. And you got XP for it.
Right, and then he turned into a zombie and you had to stab him in the head.
Yeah,
and you still got XP.
God. Oh, God.
Did you guys
go... topic.
I know.
Here's a hot...
Oh, yeah? What do you got?
Here's a hot topic.
Child murder?
Do you think it feels like a 2019 game?
No. All of my comparisons
like
are
2012 20... game?
I don't think... No, it's not 2012. I would say... Like I said, everything that I'm comparing it to, I'm comparing it to 2015. Metal Gear Solid came out in 2015. Mad Max came out in 2015. And...
Mm.
Mad Max, I will say that Mad Max felt dated even then. Mm. But from a gameplay perspective, Metal Gear Solid, saying that this game feels and plays like Metal Gear Solid, to me anyway, is an actual, like, appraisal of it, you know? Like, I'm giving it a very good, reception on that front, because that's Metal Gear Solid 5 is an amazingly well playing game. Similar to Days Gone, kind of fucked it up on the story, but when you're actually in the world and you're playing it, it's fun. It's amazing. And the way that the stealth works and the shooting, it all just all works together. Like, you can whip out a rocket launcher and shoot down a helicopter and then hide behind a an embankment until your alert level goes down, and you know it's a very good simulated world. I don't know if like Days Gone has that level of simulation, and I haven't been to anywhere that's does quite as big of a environment, like playground environment, as Metal Gear Solid has, MGS5 has, but just the basic stealth and the moving around and shooting feels as good as that game.
Yeah. Certainly doesn't feel like a 6-year in development game.
No, not. Something happened. Something happened during the production of this game.
I know what happened. It's Sony penned. They're a company completely out of their depth. And I think... Do you know about the history of them?
I just know that they did some Uncharted games on the Vita. And
They started on PS1 and they did Siphon Filter games, which are quite successful.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Siphon Filter.
With 989 Studios. And then they moved on and they tried to advance, and the big step was the PS2. And they did another side little game called the Omega Strain, and it was meant to be built for the online services as launch title, and it was meant to push it, and they bungled it quite badly. And they couldn't quite get a grasp of the tech that they had at the time. So they kind of got pushed towards the PSP, and they did a few games on the PSP, so they kind of, which was like a kind of a gen behind, I guess. The PS3, because so when everybody's working on PS3 games, they completely skip the PS3 era. So they're kind of, this was this AAA kind of, that what would have been AAA at that time, company that now kind of working on a gem behind tech sort of game. And then when it came to maybe the advance, they ended up on the Vita instead of doing something relevant then. And then the Vita went away. It's kind of, they always seem to be behind the times by about 5 or 6 years. They do stuff like Golden Abyss, didn't quite work. They did the handheld Resistance, which didn't quite work. And it seems like now there's no avenue for them to be in that pocket. They needed to do something to stay relevant and stay open. And I think they've just kind of grabbed a load of concepts of what seemed to be popular 6 years ago. And they've gone, right, let's do this. Apparently they had a grab of 5 or 6 different pitches. I think they've just thrown a load of pitches things to try and stay open. Now the feet has gone. Now they're kind of their preferred platform, their preferred tech thing's gone. And I think they've just grabbed a load of open world's popular, we'll grab that. And it doesn't feel like they've taken the cause of all of those things, but not known how to mesh any of them together quite right. They feel like a company that's kind of behind by a long way, trying to hopefully keep relevance. I don't think it's quite worked. They've viewed everything that they kind of... Well, these works, you know, we're not used to using these things, so we'll take this and we'll take this, and everything kind of hangs together in a sort of... We see how it works, but we're not sure how to implement it all. You get what I mean? I think that's the problem. I think they're just out of the depth of it, where they are.
We've seen how many people work there. Wikipedia says about 130... Which is a pretty big team for in the middle of Oregon.
But even the concept seemed like very far behind the time, you know, like about 5 or 6 years behind the time, you know, when maybe like Sons of Anarchy was relevant and when your zombie games were relevant. Do you see what I mean?
Bubsy 3D.
Yes. Oh, Bubsy 3D. Yes, indeed.
Their very first game, Bubsy 3D.
Yeah. They seem to have kind of lucked out their career. They seem to be for a company that started doing like one of Sony's original big franchises. They kind of ended up in a strange place.
Yeah.
I think it's. I honestly think it's a developer problem that they kind of bit off more they can chew. Just trying to stay open. I wouldn't be surprised if they get split off into someone else or they ended up being a support team after this.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like what I'm wondering is if, like, okay, yeah, their last game came out in 2012, which was Uncharted Fight for Fortune, which I don't even know what that was. The only one I hear about is Golden Abyss.
It was a card game.
Okay. And, you know, 6 years later, Days Gone comes out. And I'm just thinking about, it like, what had come out from Sony First Party in that time. Like, obviously, quite a few Naughty Dog games have come out. God of War 4 from Sony Santa Monica came out, and the way that a lot of these work is a lot of times, and if you now I'm sure it would be in the credits if they actually did get pulled off of Days Gone in order to help like Sony Santa Monica hit the God of War 4 release date. You know, that happens with these studios that are owned by a larger, corporation, you know. I wonder if something like that happened, like they ended up playing, like third wheel for another bigger game.
Possibly.
Like we just, like if you read through that, I think Kotaku posted about BioWare and how their teams just got yanked off of literally everything to get this done, to get that done. You know, that's how it happens, and that's why you end up with like massively long development cycles and reboots because you can't focus on one thing, and people leave, like heads of departments leave in the middle of like you're working on something in 2013 for 2 years and then you get yanked off of it to go work on something else that according to the powers that be is more important, and then like 2 years later who knows what team you're going to have, if you're going to have the same team you had back then. And so, you know, new leadership might come in and new ideas come in and things get reboot. This is why I feel like, even though it, like, if supposedly this game had been worked on for 6 years, why it feels like they had two completely disparate games. They had this story that they wanted to tell, and then they had this open world gameplay that absolutely do not jive with each other. It feels like two separate games. It's like, have they been working on these open world systems for like 5 years? And then in the last 12 months, they finally got the story together and needed some way to shoehorn it into what they have already created? I don't know.
Oh, so. When was it supposed to come? Was it 2017 it was originally supposed to be released?
I don't know.
It was supposed to come out.
I have no idea when games are supposed to come out now, because people seem to think that when you see the first trailer, that's the year that it's supposed to come out. But unless there's a firm release date on it, and I don't even take fall 2019 to be a release date. Like if a game says fall 2019, never gets an actual number on it, like October 5th, 2019. And then gets pushed into spring 2020. I don't consider that an actual delay. I consider that game development. Like that's just how it goes.
Well, I do remember about 8 or 9 months ago, they were saying that we need to kind of did have a concrete thing, and then it was like we need to retool this and just sharpen everything up and make it tighter. They actually put a statement out, Tony, that they kind of needed to kind of refine everything and just really just they put it just tighten the screws a little bit. you know, just to give it that polish that you.
Yeah, no, no, it was. I do know that it was like there was some sort of like delay in the game. Ooh. I do know that. It never had another release date though, like an actual firm. This is when this game is coming out. But
so it's.
I don't know. Like it, you can. It's all just speculation on.
It's clearly an expensive game. But
I guess so. I don't know why. Why is it expensive?
Because it's been they've been funding it for so long.
Okay, all right, yeah,
long
all right.
Development cycle.
Okay, I guess from that perspective, it's an expensive game. But when I look at the game, I don't see an expensive game.
No, I like, see cutting edge tools. When you look at lighting and stuff like the way that the weather systems work, they look fantastic.
I don't think so. Like, so
you're not.
I mean that. No, I think this is a bad looking game. Actually, I originally thought that it was a good looking game, but the more I played it, the more I realized that it's not a good looking game.
Completely agree with you. I'm gonna say that there's things that around you that look great, but when you look at kind of like say the environment and the weather systems and the lighting. But when you look at like character models, they're not quite right. The way they move isn't quite right. The facial animation isn't quite right. There's just like everything else is undercooked. So basically, the things you actually here's a tool that makes it look good. That works fine because it was going to work fine anyway. The actual artistry seems to be a little subpar.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very boring game to look at.
Yeah.
And like that is probably the biggest killer for me because I can't like Mad Max. Back then I thought that game was not great, but I played like 40 hours of that game over the course of a very long time. I kept going back to it, and the reason why I kept going back to it is because I thought the world was cool. They weren't taking advantage of it. I didn't like the characters. The story was dumb. What you were actually doing in the world wasn't great. It was kind of, you know, it was Batman combat, combo-driven Batman combat.
Yeah.
It just was kind of dull, but the world looked cool. Like, I could like, go over a sand dune, and I'd get this awesome-looking vista of this desert. And that can carry me a long way in a game. It's what carried me through a lot of Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, that game looks really good. The art in that game is amazing. Going over a hill in that game and seeing this huge, like, valley below me that I'm going to, you know, spend the next couple hours working my way through is a really cool experience. And this doesn't have any of that.
No.
Like, there's no vista. There's no, like, oh, man, I can see that cool thing off in the distance. It's just trees. It's just the tops of trees as far as you can see. And there's no indication that there's anything cool out there except for more trees.
Okay. While we're kind of talking about visuals, one of the things I would give it is I haven't really noticed any like texture type issues that we've seen in like recent games, like where there's been like popping issues or like stuff not quite working right.
I have.
From the bit I've played, at least on the Pro, there hasn't been really anything like, oh, wow, this is like in some games I've had screen tearing or texture popping issues. Like, I haven't really noticed much in it or even if any at all. Not saying that it's not there, or that different, you know, systems will have
I've noticed pop-in in certain areas, like object pop-in when I'm driving around, but I haven't noticed. Like, I've seen some screenshots going around of, like, entire cars not loading in and stuff like that. I haven't seen any of that.
I've had a couple of those where there's no textures on a car, it's just a block of a car. I've had a couple of those.
Yeah, okay. And you're on a regular
environment at all?
You're on the baseline PlayStation, yeah, right?
I am, yeah. I'm first model, yeah.
Okay. I don't know, maybe there's something going on there.
You had any issues with like clipping and stuff like that?
I've had a few times where zombies like spawned inside of a car and they couldn't move.
Yeah.
Like they were like just stuck there, which is real cool when you're trying to take advantage of stealth.
I had an instance where I was going to go over a tiny bridge. It was over a kind of a stream.
Mm-hmm.
And I went I didn't go in over the bridge. I went down and kind of clipped through the bridge, went into the valley and up the other side. Like, you ever seen the game Big Rigs?
Yeah.
Where they just go through. It was literally like Big Rigs. And it's like, yeah. I had that once and I couldn't believe it. I wish I captured it. I don't know where it works, the capture thing, but I wish I'd have captured it. But yeah, so I've had things like that, like clipping through stuff like that or driving through a hut because it's not kind of not quite worked properly. I've gone through the side of stuff and I've seen videos of it kind of somebody ended up inside of a thing because there's no kind of collision detection on the but I haven't had that, but I've seen that. But
I don't know. I think maybe that day one patch fixed a lot of that stuff from the early the early problems that we were seeing. Yeah. But like, you know, couldn't get it, couldn't iron it out in the 6 years they had.
No.
They had to patch that in last minute.
15 gig, wasn't it?
It was 20 for me.
I think 20. But for a kind of a non kind of live service, non online type game, that's not good, is it? But you expect those sort of patches and those fixes. That's not good. That's not good.
Apparently, they used Unreal 4 too, so it's not like that's a engine that doesn't get used.
No.
Like a lot.
No. Bless them, they tried. They tried.
They gave it their effort.
The old college try.
Yeah. I thought, when I first was driving around on the bike, I thought it felt really slow. Like that first chase scene.
Mm. Yeah.
I was like, wow, these bikes are going real fucking slow. I don't know if that gets any better, like if that was just a low spec bike or something like that.
Was that on the first one or when you first lose your bike? Because I finally got a couple upgrades into the bike.
I think it was on the very first mission when you were chasing somebody. I don't know. I don't even remember. I don't even remember what I was doing.
Because I know, like, once you lose your bike and you get, like, that first one back, it's really slow. Like, there's been times where I'm like, am I going to make it up this hill?
Yeah.
But then I got, like, a couple upgrades into it, and it's been a little bit better.
Yeah, that's what I got a speed upgrade, and it seemed like it was going faster now. Have you guys experienced any of those hordes like you saw in the trailers?
Not one as big as that. Like, I remember you saying that you saw one. I haven't seen, like, a full horde yet. But I had, like, a group of maybe, like, 15 zombies in an area.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a good patch of about kind of 20, and I just drove past them because I didn't have the weaponry enough to take them out.
Yeah, and I came across one that was probably like 50. They just kind of, they looked like they were just roaming. So I guess the idea is that they're out roaming at night, and then during the day they come back and congregate in an area. So like,
zombies.
Right, yeah. So I was clearing out some nests, and I guess there was a roaming pack. It was at night. There was a roaming pack coming by, and I must have triggered them. I must have activated them. And before I knew it, there was literally like 50 zombies running at me. And I'm like, oh my god. And I mean, it was cool. Like, seeing all of these zombies come at me was legitimately terrifying. Mostly because I knew that there was going to be absolutely nothing I could do. Like, the only hope that I had was to get to my bike and drive away. And it did not play out like the trailer.
No.
Let's just say. Like, I shot a couple of bullets into it and then ran out of stamina. And then they just surrounded me and beat me to death. There was no, like, cool... Oh, here's a trap that I can shoot, and it knocks a bunch of wood into them, and that gives me a couple minutes to find the next cool trap that I'm going to activate. Now, this was like in an open area on a road. There was nothing, there was no scripted cool moments that I was going to be able to trigger.
Yeah. Which I'm waiting to see a horde too, because coming from previously just playing World War Z, the horde system into that I think is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
As far as how it reacts, how they react, and how they use it on especially that scale with that many that come into that game.
Yeah, I've seen some cool video. Like, I saw your guys' videos that you your video that you put up, and some other videos too. And the horde tech in that looks really cool. They literally just pile on top of each other so they can climb up to a higher area and stuff like that. To be seen, I guess, if cool moments like that actually do happen in the game.
I will say, it looks like it's going to be a lot later, because I remember watching, when I finally was like, okay, I want this game, because it seems like it's going to be interesting, I was watching some, Russian guys play it, and they were, later on, because they had, the big machine gun thing you can get, and they had, a horde behind them, and he was, shooting the tanks on the semi to blow that up, so it would take out, a large chunk of them. Mm-hmm. But, early on, it seems like that experience of it's kind of going to be,
There's a set amount, I believe, of these hordes. I think it's 15 or 16 in the map. You just pick them off one by one. So they'll always be there until they're not, until you wipe them out. So it's, again, State of Decay. You get that batch, don't you, that walk around the town.
Yeah, but that's those come back.
They respawn, do they? Oh, okay.
Yeah, the thing, you'll clear out houses and then there'll be another batch of infected houses that'll just pop up. And same thing with the clusters. You'll take one out and then another one will just form. That was ultimately why I just stopped playing that game, was because it was just I could see it just never ending. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Like I said, at least with this, I know I have missions that I can accomplish, but I just don't want to.
No.
There's no.
I kind of want it because I want to see how they compare. Derek just said, how it compares with the hordes to the World War Z. She's kind of simpler in a way because you don't have all of those environmental things. But it seems it's dynamic to play and be inside. So I like to carry on and see how the 100 hordes are. But I'm not doing it for the story. I'm not really not doing it for the story.
Yeah.
I'm getting to the point now where I'm skipping the story, to be honest with you.
I kind of like blowing through missions, unless it's the stuff that deals with Nero, because I find that interesting and I kind of want to learn it. Like I said, I want to learn about the background stuff. I don't care about looking at what's going on right now.
Yeah.
But I want to find out about Nero. I want to find out about O'Brien, if Sarah's still alive or what's going on with that. But then I think once that resolves, I'm just not going to care about anything else.
Yeah. No.
What's the new content that's coming?
When you find
new DLC stuff coming.
When you find, you're at those Nero things, you pick up a tape recorder. And it's, again, it's like Bioshock.
That was shit.
It's like you just pick up this tape recorder. Why were they recording this distress call that they were making moments before they just got eaten by zombies? Why were they recording this on a tape recorder? And why was it only 30 seconds of it? And why is it still here? Listen. I know what happens when you have cheap electronics and you keep batteries in them for a very long time. They explode. You get acid everywhere. There's no way that this tape recorder is working.
Okay.
So AAA batteries are not gonna last. You got Rayovac, cheap ass. Doesn't survive the apocalypse.
Yeah, and you're mentioning with the DLC that's coming, we're getting a survival mode. It's taking away fast travel, survival vision,
Oh, Survival Vision, that's right.
Yeah, I was trying to see what else. Oh, it's going to move the indicators on the mini-map.
Oh.
Oh. And then they're also going to give us challenges, which just looks really stupid.
I'm assuming they're not going to make us pay for this.
Like, no, I think it's coming free. I think they said this was coming free.
Fucking hope so.
Yeah, because, like, also, why do you need weekly challenges in a single-player game? Like, the second part of that, like, okay, cool, survival mode seems like that could be really cool for, like, the hardcore player. But then weekly challenges coming, it's not online at all. Like,
they do it because
races,
they know it's not,
crowd
there's
control.
Not... They're doing a weekly challenge because they know this is probably going to be a trading game. It's not going to be a keep it on the shelf game like a God of War or a Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
They know it's going to kind of, people aren't going to be buying it new, they're going to be buying it used or stuff like that. They just want you to keep hold of it. Well, like, here's something for weekly events that don't really fit the system, that don't really fit the game.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine, like, what a survival version. Like, taking those things away does not make that sound any... I mean, I'm not going to use... They already figured out a way for me to not use fast travel.
Right, in the core games. So.
Yeah, they figured that out already. So I might as well not even be in the game.
Yeah, like, why am I going to play again on a separate... difficulty per se that takes away all this.
Well,
and like, there isn't enough to do in like walking around in the forest and stuff like that. There isn't enough to do that to not have icons to go for.
No, it's not interesting going. It's not interesting going like seek out areas or like little towns, like little side towns, like little kind of.
Yeah, you're
and
not going to
only things. Last for a couple seconds, so it's not even useful to begin with.
You're not going to go off and have a cool little adventure.
No. I find in a game like this, if you go to those places, like you go to like a little motel on the side, in a very narrative, it's different to an RPG like a Fallout because it's just built differently. But when you have a strictly story-based thing, I think fine. When you go to things like this in an open world, when you go into like a motel, you need environmental storytelling of things that have happened, cool things that are all like nasty, or you know, you can see what's happened, what's played out within this area to make it overrun. There isn't anything like that to make it interesting to go and go into these places. You
let
don't
me tell
see
you
how it's...
a little story about the fuel can in the kitchen.
And
700 days ago, when Bob was trying to cook eggs on his stove and the power went out. He went out to the shed and he's like, oh, gas, that makes fire.
Yep.
I'm going to bring this in. I'm going to make my eggs on my gas fireplace. And then the zombies got him.
Now I see what you're doing now.
And then something we kind of like going on with that, like with the storytelling part of it, something that we didn't really mention at all, is that once you get to a location for a story mission, it then loads you into doing that mission.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of like a weird transition that happens.
I hate that. That tells me they don't know how to. Yeah. When you kind of walk in your character model, you go from having this canned thing where you're talking to each other. And then it'll move like you're actually in gameplay now. So, oh, well, my character one looks like he'll walk off. And he walks into a position and it fades out and he fades back in exactly the same point.
Yeah.
As he's just kind of, and it just feels lazy or clumsy. And it really like, takes you out of it. Something really simple that takes you out of something like that.
We already do the cutscene fading into gameplay like seamlessly. Like we've been doing that for years, like at least
God of
a decade
War does
now.
It perfectly. God of War does it perfectly, where you go seamlessly from that cutscene and you're suddenly playing it. It's such a clumsy thing for it to walk to the side and then just stop and stand there to then stop. Oh, why did you stop? Ugh. Yeah, it's so lazy. It's just, it feels like, no, it doesn't feel lazy. It just feels like,
this feels rushed.
This is the only way we know how to do this, guys.
It also feels rushed. Like they could have taken the time and made that happen, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Because they probably didn't have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They
didn't know how to smooth it out, and it just like kind of clutched into it. So they thought, fuck it, we'll just have it as a in and out.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
I'm going to have to wrap this up.
But I've got so much more.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. But so many days have gone since we've started this podcast.
I've grown a beard.
Yeah. It's not great. It's not a great game, and
no.
I think that there are bits and pieces that you can pull out and be like, "Oh, this is okay. This is all right. This little bit works here." But the more you start adding everything into it, the bogged down it becomes, and the lack of focus and the lack of just drive to really push forward. Like Derek, you say you want to learn about this neuro stuff, but from what I've seen from the neuro stuff, it really isn't even that great.
Yep.
Like the way that they're telling the story through that isn't even that great. And Lee, you want to see how the zombie hordes stack up compared to like World War Z and everything like that. Mm. But
that budget guide.
Yeah, that $40 online multiplayer only game. But that's not really a huge driving force, right? That's not like there's like a thing on the in the menu that says, "Go check out the zombie horde." See how it. Go check out the zombie sword. See how it stacks up to World War Z.
Wanting to see how they nailed the landing is not really the best impetus to play a game.
Right.
Really isn't. It's like, a shame. It is a shame.
Yeah, I guess so.
Kind of a blip on their record a bit, I think.
Their high standard record. Yeah, I wonder what happens after this. Like, what is their next project, or
what is for, this... for Bend?
Yeah,
I have two things. Either they'll be closed or separated into different things. They'll become a support company.
Yeah,
or they'll go retro and they'll do a modern day Siphon Filter kind of.
Oh Jesus!
To go back to what they know. I'd like a modern day Siphon Filter. I'd like a good solid kind of high action spy game.
Yeah, I guess so.
But they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. Just do a retro spy game. But I think they might go back to what they know, save their bacon a bit. But I think they might be in a bit of trouble.
As long as they keep that run animation.
Mm.
With the waist that just kind of swivels.
There
that was Siphon Filter, right?
It was, yeah. Where you can shoot behind you, but your legs are still running. Yeah, it's amazing. I fucking love Siphon Filter.
Yeah.
But there you go, Siphon Filter. This is the game made by the people that thought a really fun thing to do was have a taser that burns you alive. And I think that sums up where they are in 2019. They're still the same company. They're still making games where a taser burns you alive if you hold the button long enough. And that was the selling point. Look what we could do, guys. This is amazing.
Nailed it.
Go back to 1998, guys.
Siphon Filter Remaster Collection.
I'd think I'd do a modern iteration of it. Maybe slightly more open world, stealthy. They could do the stealth thing. They can't. That's the one thing that does work in the game, is the stealth thing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it feels a lot like Metal Gear Solid, so if they just do that and Siphon Filter, maybe that would work. I don't know.
the gibberish with the cone of vision. Yeah, that kind of works, but... On to the next one, I guess.
I guess so, yeah.
Which is, I don't know what the next game is. What is the next Sony game? It's not Tsushima.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's either The Last of Us 2 or Ghost of Tsushima.
It sounds like it's Last of Us. There's dropping hints about it being September, October, aren't they?
Well,
hints. We'll see how it goes.
If that happens, when is Ghost of Tsushima going to come out?
They've been talking about that game's kind of gone silent.
They've been talking about that game for as long as they've been talking about Days Gone.
Oh, people say, oh, it would be on PS3, PS4 and PS5, but they don't work like that. I don't think first-party games have been cross-platform or cross-gen about the Sega era.
Breath of the Wild on both. No, the companies still do that. Assassin's Creed Black Flag came out both. You could pay $10 extra.
Yeah, but they're multi-platform titles. They're multi-platform titles. They generally do a cross-spread.
I don't think there's a... It's something that can happen still. I'm also hearing that probably Death Stranding is going to be, if not PlayStation 5, both PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5.
I think they probably cram it for PS4 and then kind of charge full price for a remaster next generation.
I don't think that game is going to be done. I think they're in a spot here where they can't do that because they've been advertising these games as coming out on PlayStation 4. Like, Ghost of Tsushima, like I said, has been... I think it was the same E3 that Days Gone was debuted at. If not, a year later. Like, if that doesn't come out on PlayStation 4, that's bad. That game has been absolutely advertised as a PlayStation 4 game.
But I don't know how far we are away from getting a PS5, so...
Everybody thinks it's going to be fall 2020. Like that's when they're going to come out.
No.
Yeah, that's probably when they're going to come out. Yeah.
No, the PS5 console.
Yes. Okay. PlayStation 5. 2020. Fall 2020.
Fall 2020, you're having a laugh.
Next year, yeah.
That's not going to happen.
I'm pretty sure it's going to.
Okay.
I think we're going to get an Xbox and we're going to get a PlayStation in fall 2020.
What's this Wii? I don't know. Well, they're screwed then. Because they've been advertising heavily this thing that it'll annoy a lot of people.
Yeah,
but then they always start generations annoying people. So
like if The Last of Us 2 comes out before Ghost of Tsushima is weird. That's going to be weird.
Yeah, because it wasn't extraordinarily quiet.
It wasn't too well. Yeah, they had that big gameplay reveal, which looked really fucking good.
Yeah, which is why I kind of wouldn't be mad if it came out on PlayStation 5 instead of 4.
Yeah,
I don't know. I would be from a purely like,
I'd be pissed.
What the fuck are you doing?
from a consumer point, yeah, that would not be cool.
Because that would be like going on 5 years that they've been talking about that game. If it doesn't come out until after 2020, or even if it's a launch game for PlayStation 5. That's a long time.
Has there been a time when they've done this before? Well, it's definitely for this console. It's come out as an exclusive. I don't think it is, though.
What do you mean? What are you asking?
Where they kind of, this is absolutely coming out for the PS3. Absolutely, as an exclusive, and then it's like, no, it was PS4. Sorry about that, guys. They may have done it. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Yeah. They're usually pretty good about saying that, like, we're like with those transition years.
Mm.
They're usually pretty good at saying, like, you know, this is what the PlayStation, like, here's the PlayStation 3 stuff, and now this is what the PlayStation 4 is going to look like. So to have it be like a for them to have the game, like Tsushima, for instance, very much being aimed at PlayStation 4, to have it come out on 5 would be very strange.
Yeah.
Unless they come out like tomorrow and say, hey, Ghost of Tsushima, you know, we were showing it. The reason why we haven't shown it for a while is because it's going to take a little bit longer. We're aiming for PlayStation 5.
Mm.
Same with Death
whatever
Stranding.
It is. Yeah, whatever it is, it ain't going to be Ben, so we'd be fine.
Yeah, right.
So, you know what I mean? Every cloud and all that.
Yeah.
Bless them. They tried.
All right. That's Days Gone. Maybe pick it up when it's on a big sale.
Ooh. Yeah.
Maybe $30.
$30, $40, maybe. Yeah.
I would probably lean more toward 30. If you're gonna wait for a sale, wait for it to be 30, because I think it's probably gonna. They've been good or bad. There's been a lot of aggressive pricing on post-release games. Like, you can get Assassin's Creed for, like, $25, and that came out 6 months ago. Like, you can get Horizon Zero Dawn. God of War you can get for, like, $25-$30. So, I would say, if you haven't jumped in yet, just wait for it to go on sale, because it probably will pretty soon.
And you get something out of it. I mean, if nothing else, it's got content.
Yeah, you know apparently I mean?
There's 30 hours min a if you just do story, I think.
Yeah.
It's playable and it's quite substantial. So. Yeah. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's a 7.
It's fine. I'm going to give it a generous 6.5 in my book.
What about you, Derek? Or was Derek falling asleep?
Yeah.
Derek's still awake. Oh. I'd say like 7.5.
It's not a bad score.
No, like I said, just above average.
Mm-hmm. It's a pot boiler. They call it boilerplate.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap it up then. I was hoping to wrap this up in like a half an hour, and here we are, an hour and 54 minutes in. But yeah, that's the Day's Gone, I guess. What else is there to say?
I'm keeping quiet because I just thought about something else, but just wrap it up quick.
No, all right, Jesus, we're wrapping it up. Silver, thanks for listening. Day's Gone, see you later, bye.
Yeah, bye.
Later.